chapter 2 this morning, and I'm excited to start this first Sunday of a new year in the Word of God together and in a new sermon series. And the name of this series that we're about to get into is Synchronize, and I have been contemplating and preparing and getting this particular series of messages ready as we begin this year, because over the course of the first 6 weeks of this year, God has placed it on my heart to challenge our church to get on the same page spiritually. Now, rewind 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, of course, it was 2020, and brought its own challenges. But out of the midst of all the difficulty of that year, God began to do a work in our church of growth. And over the past 3 years, our church has literally doubled in size. And it's been a blessing to see all the people saved and see all the wonderful things that the Lord has been doing. And some of the people that have become a part of our church over these past 3 years have been people who were not believers before, and they came to hear the gospel and trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and became a part of this family, of this church body. And others who have become a part of this church over these last 3 years have been those who moved to this area and were looking for a good church, or had been going to a different church in this area and have now decided to become a part of our church. And let me just say, preface everything I'm going to say by saying, whatever reason you've come, we're glad you're here. And we're so thankful for all the people that God has brought to be a part of what He is doing at this church. And yet, as we have grown, my heart has become more and more burdened about something. And that is maintaining our identity as a church. In other words, the Lord has burdened my heart that we, though we're growing in size, that we would not forget who it is that God has called us to be in the midst of all the growth. Let's be honest. There are a lot of churches who, in pursuit of growth, lose their identity. And the growth itself becomes the goal instead of becoming more like Jesus. And I want to make a first statement to you here that I want you to write down in your notes. And that first statement is this. If we allow growth itself to become our goal, we will quickly become something other than what God has called us to be. If we allow growth itself to become the goal, we'll forget who we are. There are a lot of so-called churches today who all they are really pursuing is growth. Can I tell you, there's a difference between building a crowd and building a group of dedicated followers of Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you want to build a crowd, then we should probably take the NFL's model, okay? Or the NBA's model. They fill up a stadium every week, right? But the church is not in the entertainment business. We are in the gospel business. We are in the ministry of the Word. And it's so easy when a church begins to grow for them to get focused in on the growth itself and lose the identity of who God has actually called them to be. One person put it this way. They said, growth is a moving target. Jesus is a fixed goal. And you know what? You can always have more people. You can always do more things to get a bigger crowd. You always build a bigger building. But if that's what the goal is, you're missing it. Jesus is the one that should be our goal. And now more than ever, as believers and as a church right here, a local church right here, we need to hear the words of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, where the Bible challenges us to run your race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And I want you to understand this today. Our eyes need to be set on Jesus. He's the goal. He's the prize that we are striving to reach for as believers and as a local church. And so it's important that we don't lose sight of who God has called us to be in the midst of all the new people being added to this body. And I'll be honest, I love the new families and new individuals that God is bringing into our church. It's been so fun over these last several years to have so many of you coming. By the way, I love you people that have been here a long time before I've ever been here too. I love everybody that's a part of this church. And one of the things I love about our church is the diversity that exists in our church. Every one of us who come, we come from different life experiences, different backgrounds, different opinions about issues in our society. And we bring in our own gifts and strengths and even weaknesses and flaws. All of us bring this variety that makes it really fun to come to church sometimes. And just be a part of a church family. Because you never know quite what you're going to get, depending on who you talk to that day. And by the way, the one thing that brings all of us together, I said this in the first service, and I think someone almost gasped, all right? Would it surprise you to know that we have Republicans and Democrats in our church? And even some in between. I don't know where they're at exactly, okay? I bring up that just for a laugh, but the truth is we do have people of different sorts of opinions and different sorts of the spectrum. Why do we all get along? How could we all possibly come together with all this diversity? And the answer to it, the thing that brings us all together as a body, is Jesus. The one thing that we all have in common, the one thing that truly brings us all together, no matter what our background is or opinions are about political issues of our day or whatever you throw in the blank there, the one thing that draws us together in unity as a body is the fact that we all know we need Jesus. And that is a powerful truth. And that was the way that God designed for His church to be. Here's the thing. If we all try to make things in this church how we think they should be, we will quickly become divided and lose sight of who God has called us to be. Some of you grew up Baptist. Some of you grew up Lutheran. Some of you grew up Catholic. Some of you grew up, didn't go to church. All right? We all have different life experiences, different opinions about all different kinds of things. And the truth is, we can get so nitpicky and say, well, no, it has to be this way. This is the right way. On issues that really aren't even deep doctrinal issues. We can get so nitpicky about these things to a place where we begin to divide and cease to be the church that God wants us to be. And as we begin this year, God has burdened my heart about the importance of us coming together being what He wants us to be. The old story is told about a man who he got stranded on an island, and he had been there for 20 years before someone came to rescue him. While he's on the island, his rescuers, he began to show them around and all the things that he was able to accomplish on that island in those 20 years. They came to the first building that he wanted to show them, and he said, "This is my home. And these are all the things that I was able to do with the limited resources that I had." And he showed him his home. Then he went out of his home and he walked down a little bit further to a second building. And he said, "This is the church that I built, where every Sunday I'd come and worship God, and every day I'd come and spend time with God." And as he was explaining all these things to this person, he noticed it was obvious that this man was ignoring the third building that existed on the island. And so he asked him about the third building. And he said, "What's that building over there?" And the guy said, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." I think he must have been a Baptist, all right? The truth is, if we're not careful, we can get to that kind of place. We can get to the kind of place where we allow anything and everything in the world to divide us instead of coming together as a body to accomplish the big mission that He has given to us as the church. And so what's the answer? How can we get all on the same page? How can we come together as a church family this year? And in a word, the answer I propose to you today is synchronization. You say, "What in the world is synchronization?" Well, I'm glad you asked that. All right? The word synchronize, it comes from a Greek word that means to be of the same time. And the biblical example of synchronization is in Philippians chapter 2, where we're challenged to be of the same mind. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And the point I'm trying to make this morning is this. If we are going to come together as a church this year, every single one of us are going to have to get synchronized with God. See, you don't need to get synchronized with me, and I don't need to get synchronized with you. But all of us need to get synchronized with Him. Get on His page. All right? Get on His timetable. Now, we think about the idea of synchronization, and it's actually more common to our society than you might think. The whole concept started off with our modern-day clock. And anytime you get an old-fashioned watch, one of the first things that you have to do, now we have these smartwatches now, and apparently they keep the right time for us without us having to actually adjust anything. But you get an old-time watch, you're going to have to take it and you're going to have to adjust it a little bit to be able to get it to the right time. Remember a couple years ago, Jerry Kern, he gave me an old watch. And I brought it home, I put it on, and I had to bring it back to him and I said, it doesn't work. So he took it and he said, I thought I had it working. He took it home, worked on it, brought it back to me, I put it on, brought it back to him again a little bit later, and I said, it doesn't work. And he looked at it, and we figured out why it wasn't working. It's because I'm a millennial. I didn't know you have to wind the watch. I've never heard of such a thing before, all right? And I guess I'm showing my youth a little bit there. But the point of the matter is, when you get an old-fashioned watch, one of the things you have to do is you have to take it and you have to turn that timetable a little bit to make sure it's showing the right time. I carried this up here today. I'm holding it upside down. And they said, is that to make sure you stay on time? And I said, no, it doesn't work, so it doesn't matter. All right? We got to synchronize. And that's what we need to do with God. The same concept can be illustrated with a tuner. How many of you like to play instruments, stringed instruments? Anybody here with me? All right, a couple of you. Thank you. All right. Well, anybody who plays an instrument, you have to tune up if you're going to be able to play the instrument right. And especially if you're going to play in an orchestra or if you're going to play in a group, you're not going to sound very good if everybody doesn't get in tune. Here's an interesting thing. Every instrumentalist can't decide for himself what he thinks sounds right. No, we have a set standard determined by God that everybody has to tune to that set standard. And when they all tune up to the set standard, they can be in tune with each other. That's the idea of synchronization. And the point I'm simply trying to make to you here this morning is that to be the church God wants us to be, we must each get in sync with God. That's the next statement I want you to write down. To be the church God wants us to be, we must each get in sync with God. You see, we don't get to set the standard. We don't get to look at God and say, God, you need to get on board with what I want to do this year. Our responsibility is to get our hearts tuned to God's heart and to get the big picture of what God wants for our lives. The simple task you are given is to get in tune with God. During the U.S. Civil War, President Lincoln was invited by a group of Unionists to a prayer breakfast. And there were a lot of ministers at this prayer breakfast. And obviously, during that particular time period of our history, there was a lot of debate and controversy about the issues of the day. One of the ministers during that prayer breakfast came to President Lincoln. And he told, and I'll just quote exactly what it said that he said to the president. He said, Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side. And with his wit that was so common to President Lincoln, he revealed some great insight. He said, no, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. I love that story. You know, that's your job as a Christian. Not to get God on your side, but to make sure that you are on God's side. So I have a question for you. As you evaluate the condition of your own heart, are you in sync with God? Are you in tune with God? Are you aligned in your life today, in every area of your life, with where God wants you to be? Because that is our greatest responsibility as individual parts of the body of Jesus Christ. To get in sync, to get in tune with God. Now what would happen? What would happen this year if every single one of us got our hearts in tune with God's? I propose to you that what would happen is we would begin to look a whole lot more like the church that God first instituted. And so now I want you to take your Bibles. You've already turned there to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to notice what the Bible tells us about the early New Testament church. The first church that got started. The church from which all other churches were birthed. This is what the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse number... It'd help if I was there too. Acts 2 and verse number 46. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 46, and they, continuing daily, with what? One accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here we find among many aspects described about this early church that one of the most common ways this church was described is that they were a church that existed in one accord. I love that phrase in the scripture. It's used 12 times in the Bible, and 10 out of the 12 times it's used in the book of Acts to describe for us what the Christian community is supposed to look like. We are supposed to be a body that is of one accord. What does it mean to be of one accord? Well, the phrase in English, one accord, it comes from a Greek word, hamathematon. I'll say that 10 times fast, okay? Hamathematon is the Greek word that it comes from. And actually, that Greek word has two different parts to it that are combined together. The first part of that Greek word means to rush along, and the other one means in unison. All right? To rush along in unison. And the image created by this word in the Greek is almost musical in how you could describe it. It's kind of like an orchestra of instruments. All of them, though they're all playing different parts and playing different sounds, yet when you put those together, and when they play together in harmony, they're weaved together to make a beautiful sound. All right? And the church is supposed to exist a whole lot like that. We're all made a little bit different. We all have different gifts and different abilities. We all make a little bit of a different sound, but when each one of us get tuned up to our master conductor, the Lord Jesus Christ, He weaves all of our gifts and talents and abilities and ministries together in harmony so that we can accomplish the big mission that He's given us to accomplish as the church. And I want you to understand something this morning. Who you are, the gifts that God has given you, and how God wants to use you is significant. And without your voice in this church, without your gifts in this church, we could never sound quite as beautifully as what God desires for us to. See, each part is important. And when you're missing one of the parts, that's when you begin to see how important that part really is. But God wants to take all of our gifts and abilities and weave them together as a great and beautiful orchestra would sound so that the world can hear the beautiful message of Jesus Christ. That is what God has called us to. And I think one of the best passages of Scripture that talks to us about this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, these verses are in your notes, or you can turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. The Bible says, now there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Yes, we have different abilities. We've got the same Spirit who's guiding us to use those abilities. Yes, we come from different perspectives and experiences. Well, we still have the same Lord. We have the same God who is taking all of what we have to offer and weaving it together into a beautiful masterpiece for His glory. That's how God intends for us to exist and to function as the church. And I want you to listen to me on this. When we, as a called out band of believers, each get synchronized with God, He will guide each one of us to use our unique gifts and opportunities in harmony with each other to accomplish His purpose and mission. Too often what happens in a church is that people get their own agendas. And instead of working together, we work against each other. In church, the only way that we can prevent that happening is if each one of us will make a decision to get in tune with God, to get synchronized with God. By the way, I don't think there's anything more beautiful on this side of eternity than a church that functions in unity. I like how Psalm 133 and verse 1 puts it. It says how good it is and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, I love coming to church and hearing the church sing out praise to God. There isn't any division. There aren't any issues. We've got all our eyes focused on Jesus and all our hands ready to serve Jesus. And that's what God desires for us to be as a church. A church unified around our Savior, in sync with our Savior, all for His glory. That's what God's called us to. And so over the next several weeks, we are going to be exploring the various ways that God desires for us to be synchronized together as His church. We're going to see several elements that are involved with us coming together as a church. But today, we're going to start with a very simple first step. And that is you personally getting your heart and mind in sync with the Savior. You see, there's no possible way that all of us could get in sync with God if every one of us aren't willing to do it personally. There's no way we're all going to come together and accomplish what God wants us to accomplish this year if each one of us is not willing to make the decision to do our part to get in sync with God. Now, what would it look like if we were this kind of church? If we were a church who every single one of us, listen to me, every single one of us started getting in the Word of God every day and walking with God. And getting our hearts in sync with God every day. What would happen if every single one of us joined together in a small group community and started challenging each other in our faith and started growing in our knowledge and understanding of the Scripture? What would happen if every single one of us found a place to serve God in ministry? What would happen if every single one of us decided to be obedient to God in our giving, being willing to give of our time and talent and treasure to further the kingdom of the Lord? What would happen if every single one of us made the decision this year to share our faith, to go and tell other people about Jesus Christ and bring them in so that they can know when they die, they're going to go to heaven? What would that look like for us? Not just if one of us did. Not just if the same 10 people who do it every year did. What would it look like if all of us got in sync with God? Well, I propose to you it would look a whole lot like that early church. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, after it describes this church that was in one accord, the last sentence of verse 47 gives us the result, the impact of a church so in sync with God. What does it say? It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be what? Growth was the result. God blessed that church. God used that church. God used that one church who was the mother of all churches that exist all over the world today. Those believers got on so on fire for God that God used them to see church after church established in city after city after city. And I'm going to tell you, if we as a church would get in sync with God today, each one of us individually, the potential impact it could have is that of revival. See, we could reach our community for Christ. We could reach our state that seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket today. We could turn the tide and reach our state for Jesus Christ. Our country, our world, there's no limit to the impact that could be had if each one of us would be willing to get our hearts aligned with God's. Now, I'm not selling this to be more than what it actually is. This is what the Bible teaches can happen through the church. The church is the most powerful organism that exists in this world. But we cut our power short because we get so petty and so caught up with our own priorities. It's time for us to get in sync with God. And so as we begin this journey of discovering how we can get in sync with God, we'll find that it starts first off on the personal level. Getting in sync with God starts on the personal level. It starts with you. And so as you evaluate your own life, can you honestly say that you are in sync with God? Can you look at every area of your life and say, yeah, I know I'm right where God wants me to be? Because if you can, then I would like to shake your hand. Because you must be the perfect person. See, if we all be honest about our lives, I think we all have some work. I think we all have some areas we're not quite where God wants us to be in. And a little humility would do us a whole lot of good in understanding what it's going to take to get in sync with God. See, the stark reality is that the vast majority of people simply cannot say that they are in sync with God. And if anything, most people, so far from feeling like they're in tune with God, Their way and God's way often seem very conflicted. You ever been there before? Something happens in your life and you think, what are you doing, God? This is what you should be doing. Why are you allowing this to happen? Well, here's why. Isaiah 55 in verse 10 says, the Lord says, my ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, even so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's perspective is a whole lot different than your perspective and mine. God doesn't see things the way we see them. He doesn't do things the way that we do them. It makes me think about when I was a kid. Oftentimes, I would ask my parents for things, or maybe perhaps ask permission to go over to a friend's house, and they would tell me no, and I just couldn't understand it. It made no sense to my little kid brain. I remember the first time doing this, I was about 6 years old, and one of my best friends in my church happened to be a girl. And we had been spending time together as a family that day. And I came to my mom and dad, and I said, Mom and Dad, can I go over to her house to spend the night? And they told me no. And I thought, they're the meanest parents in all the world. All my other friends get to go over to their friends' houses. I just couldn't understand it, my little six-year-old brain. Now I'm a little bit older, it makes perfect sense why I didn't get to go over to my friend's house that night. You see, perspective changes things. We don't always line up with God because we don't understand what He's doing. But I've got news for you. God is never wrong. Never. Never one time has He been wrong. So if your perspective doesn't line up with God's perspective, guess who is wrong? It's not a hard guess. It's you. And the truth is, the sooner you come to realize that God knows what's best and God does all things well, the sooner you can get in sync with God. You can get in line with God. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God knows where He's taking you. God knows what He's doing in your life. And the sooner you get on board with God and get yourself aligned with God, the better it will be for you. Here's the next statement I want you to write down. Getting in sync with God requires something called faith. Now turn in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, I believe these verses are in your notes. Hebrews chapter number 11. Faith is what is truly required for you to get in sync with God. What is faith? Well, the simplest definition of faith is trusting God. I like the definition, taking God at His word. That's faith. And the Bible gives us perhaps one of the best definitions of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And look down at verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. Verse 6, the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." In other words, it is simply not possible for you to be on the same page with God if you do not exercise faith. You cannot possibly be in sync with God if you are not willing to trust Him. The rest of the verse goes on to say, "For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You see, you have to come to a place in your life when you finally accept God is God and you are not. And God knows what's best, and you don't always know what's best. And so whenever God is telling you to do something that you're not comfortable with, whenever God is telling you to do something that you don't understand, whenever God's telling you to do something that, well, I've never done it that way before, faith is required for you to say, I'm going to abandon my own way, and I'm going to trust that if God tells me to do this, He knows what He's doing, and He will take care of me. Does that make sense? That's faith. And that's why faith is required for you to get in sync with God. Because listen to me. Hey, all of us have so many areas of our life where we're used to doing things a certain way. And then we read the Bible, or we come to a church service, and God starts knocking on our heart and saying, hey, don't do it that way. Or hey, you haven't been doing this, you should start. God starts speaking to your hearts about specific decisions. It's really uncomfortable. You have to change your whole life to get on board with what God wants you to do. But that's what it looks like to get in sync with God. Listen, I'm not just talking about sitting around in a circle and singing kumbaya and saying, I feel like I'm so connected with God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking very practical. All right? You are not in sync with God because of some things that you're doing in your life, and getting in sync with God looks like God telling you, hey, you're not being a part of a community of faith. You're not sharing your faith. You're not serving in ministry. You're not, you fill in the blank. You should be. And faith is required for you to say, you know what? Okay, Lord, I've never done anything like that before, but I'm going to trust you. That's what it looks like to get in sync with God. See, it's a whole lot more practical than what we might at first think that it is. And this is where things get really difficult for us. Because we like to be able to see something before we'll believe it. We like to be able to test something before we'll trust it. But that's not how God works. God says, believe me and I'll show you. Trust me and I'll come through for you. See, it takes a step of faith first with God. My question for you is, as we begin this year, are you willing to take the step of faith to get your life in sync with your Savior? And so the end result for most people is that they get out of sync with God because they don't really believe God. They don't really trust Him. You know, as God begins to speak about particular areas in your life where you're not aligned with Him, if you do not make a decision to make the changes He's calling you to make, it really is an example of that you don't really trust Him. You say, well, Pastor, I'm just too busy. Or I just don't make enough money. Or I just, you fill in the blank. You can come up with 1,000 excuses not to obey God. But it really boils down to this one simple thing. Are you going to trust Him or not? Because He's good, and He'll take care of you. And wherever you've gotten out of sync with God, if you'll get back in sync with Him, He will come through for you. But the ball's in your court. Now, underlying the fact that we often struggle with getting out of sync with God is an even deeper issue. And I'm almost out of time, so I'm going to have to hasten this along. But go back to Genesis chapter 1 in your Bible with me. Genesis chapter number 1 in your Bible. And in Genesis chapter 1, we go back to the beginning to understand the reason we struggle with getting out of sync with God is because we were out of sync with God from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26, here's what the Bible says. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Verse 27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. The Bible tells us that God created us in His image. We were created as a triunity. As He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even so we are body, soul, and spirit. And see, unlike anything else in God's creation, God made us with a spirit that can commune with Him. With a spirit that can have a relationship with Him. Don't miss this. This is the purpose why God made us. He made us to enjoy a relationship with Him forever. Revelation 4:11 literally says that we were created for His pleasure. God made us to have a relationship with Him. But the problem is that we severed that relationship with God when we chose to sin all the way at the beginning. Look in your Bible a couple chapters over at Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 6. The Bible says in Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, which God had told them not to do, and she did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. God had only given him one rule. Don't eat the fruit of that one tree. And they couldn't resist. They chose to do exactly what God had told them not to do. That is sin. Anytime you go against what God tells you to do, the Bible calls that sin. This is the first sin that happened in the world by the first man and the first woman. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Bible says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" You see, as soon as sin entered into the picture, man was separated from his created purpose. We were created to enjoy a relationship with God, but as soon as man and woman chose to sin, the first thing they did was when God came, what did they do? They wanted to hide. They ran away from their relationship with God instead of running to their relationship with God. And that is always what sin does. I want you to write this statement down next. Sin is always the reason you get out of sync with God. It is always the reason. If you find yourself in a place where you say, well, I don't know if me and God are aligned in every area of my life, I propose to you that it is because of some kind of sinful issue in your life that needs to be dealt with. Isaiah 59 says that it is your iniquities that have separated you between you and your God and hid his face from you so that he will not hear you. Anything that comes between you and God is sin. And the Bible makes that very clear to us. And the truth is, so many of us are struggling today with not being in sync with God because we have a sin issue in our life that is keeping us from being where we ought to be. And I say to you that anything in your life that is coming between you and God, even if it isn't in and of itself outwardly a sinful thing, if it's coming between you and God, it's wrong for you. Nothing should come between you and your relationship with God. Hey, I'm talking about a relationship with another person, maybe a boyfriend, maybe a girlfriend. I'm talking about a job. I'm talking about a hobby. Anything you allow to take the place that God should have in your life, it can become sinful to you. That's what the Bible makes clear to us. But for some of us, it goes deeper than this. You see, sin is what divides us from our relationship with God. But for some of us, it goes back to the very fact that since Adam and Eve sinned, every one of their children have been born sinners as well. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so now death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All right? I have five children. I've never had to sit down with any of them and teach them how to throw a fit or teach them how to misbehave. They've all figured it out for themselves. And I'm beginning to discover that boys are much different than girls when it comes to these things. Alright? Girls are little angels, and the boy is I'm not even going to talk about that, okay? No, he's a lot of fun. But all of them are sinners. How do they get that? Me. We joke around and say, well, they got that from their mother, but actually it's from me. The sin nature is passed down from father to father. And the truth of the matter is, every child ever born has been born a sinner. What that means is, from birth, we're out of sync with God. What that means is, from birth, we don't have a relationship with God. We need to be restored to our relationship with God. And this is terribly bad news because every single one of us are out of sync with God from the moment that we're born. Psalm 14, in verses 2 and 3, here's what the Bible says. It says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. But they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." This is the tragedy. Sin has separated every single one of us from our created purpose of enjoying, of being synchronized to God, of enjoying a relationship with God. We all have this common problem. But this is the good news. And this is the last thing we'll talk about. The gospel. The good news. Yes, we're out of sync with God because of our sin. But the good news is that Jesus came to re-sync us to God. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. Don't miss this. This is the most important thing we're going to talk about all morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 verse 18 says that all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, yes, you may find yourself because of sin out of sync with God. You may not have ever truly experienced what it is to have a real relationship with God. But Jesus Christ came and suffered on the cross for every single wrong thing that you've ever done. And He was buried and He rose again 3 days later. And the Bible says He's alive today. He's ascended to heaven and that He is able to save to the uttermost anyone who comes to God by Him. The truth is, you're out of sync with God, but through Jesus, you can be brought back together with Him. Your relationship with God can be restored once more. The reason this is so important to me is we're going to talk about a lot of practical things over the next several weeks. We're going to talk about serving and being a part of a small group, and we're going to talk about giving and being a witness. I need you to understand something. If you do all these things and think that those things are going to get you right with God, you are gravely mistaken. They won't. There's only one thing that can realign you with your Creator, and that is faith in Jesus to forgive your sinful soul. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but Jesus. It's only Jesus that can save you. And when you understand you're a sinner, you're not in sync with God, but you want to be. You want to have that relationship with your Creator. If you have that calling on your soul today, the Bible says, if you would be willing to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that He's alive and He can forgive you and He can save you today. If you'd be willing to believe that and confess Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And listen to me. There's never been a day in your life when you have acknowledged your sin and called out to Jesus to be your Savior. The Bible gives the same invitation to everyone. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. One time I had somebody say, well, I want to wait to get saved till Easter. No. Now, there's no better day than today. And if you don't know you're saved, that is the first step you need to make to get resynced with God. I hope that you'll do it. God has burdened my heart as a pastor, as our church has grown, to challenge us not to lose our identity, to not to lose sight of who God has called us to be. So how can we be that church? Well, it starts with each one of us getting synchronized with our Savior. Can you honestly say that you're in sync with God today? Did you think about every area of your life? Can you honestly say that? Because I think if we're all humble and honest, we would have to admit there's some areas that we need work on. And here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to begin a journey with me today of opening your heart. Opening up all those closets in your life that you don't want anybody else to know about. Alright? When it comes to your time, when it comes to using your gifts, when it comes to that sin issue that you don't want anybody else to know about, when it comes to your finances, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to how you're raising your children, when it comes to your workplace and all these things, I want to challenge you to open up your life to the Holy Spirit of God and begin to allow the Holy Spirit of God to show you anywhere where you and God aren't lined up. Whenever God shows you something, I want to challenge you to have a willingness to remember God isn't the one who's wrong. I am. And if I'm going to get in sync with God, then I'm going to have to change some things. And here's the prayer I want to challenge you to pray as we go through this series. It's in your notes, Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist prayed, search me, O God, and try my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, that's the key to getting in sync with God. You have to open up your life to God and let Him show you where you've gotten out. And then, as you allow God to search your heart, you have to have a willingness to say, God, lead me in the right way. I don't want to go that way that's out of sync with you anymore. I want to go your way. Can I tell you something, church? If we would all, each one of us, as husbands, as wives, as moms and dads, as as individual members of this body, if every single one of us would be willing to search our own heart and get in sync with God, then we as a church, by getting in sync with God, would get in sync with each other. And there is no limit to what God can do through us this year to accomplish His purpose if we would be willing to make this one simple choice to get in sync with God.